Ruenas is a community one can hardly find on the map. The people here are really in great need. They work night and day to earn a living. So we thought, what good can come out of Ruenas? What legacy can it leave? School in a Box is our approach to helping the children in Tacloban. The School in a Box project started when I attended training on community health education. During the seminar, a representative from Tacloban shared how families in transitory sites can hardly afford school supplies for the whole year.
My family can only afford a few notebooks for all our subjects. If I have 9 subjects, then I would have 3 notebooks. I see to it that I divide them equally and then label each subject.
I finished school by providing for myself. I can still recall how when we were kids, my siblings and I would divide one pencil and had to share almost everything else. So this is our way of sharing God's goodness. Ruenas has been richly blessed by God, so it's our turn to bless others as well. We want to see the place that we are helping do the same thing. Not necessarily helping those affected by the typhoon, but rather anyone who cannot afford to buy some school supplies for themselves. One pencil or paper or pen that we give is already a big help, because they will realize that education is important. It is the only way to elevate one's status in life. If one is not educated, he or she will remain in that perspective of poverty.
My experience has been my inspiration that out of my poverty, I want to give. I want to help even just one child, because in that one child, I can see myself.
I challenge the NY Council, if the young people will give, the church will give. If the church will give, the community also will give. This project challenges me to serve as an example for others. If I achieve my schooling and I'm now graduating, they too can reach for their dream through education.
sa akin po, pag nagbibigay ako.
I realized that you don't need to be rich to help others. One just needs to have a heart for giving and being compassionate to others.
Welcome all of our visitors this morning on behalf of the church family and say it's really great to see y'all here. And the church takes part in giving and sharing with the world that needs Jesus Christ. And in light of that, we receive tithes and offerings on each Sunday morning. So if our ushers would come at this time, we'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Thanks.
Father, from the DVD or video we watched this morning, we realize how much of the world does not have the material blessings that we have. And Lord, we realize because you have blessed us so abundantly, it's up to us to give. So as we give this morning, Lord, we ask that the portion that we give that go to reach all parts of the world for your kingdom, and touch people throughout the world, materially and spiritually, Lord, that they might have churches to attend, schools to attend, that they might reach their fulfillment as what you have for them. I ask now once again to bless each person, each gift, and each giver this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
God answers prayer. God purposely answers your prayers and my prayers. In spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our faults, God wants to be your Lord, Lord of your life, and take care of you in a special way. I have a beautiful card here from Leo and Vonda, and thanking the church, and I'll post that out on the bulletin board so you can read it, thanking you for all your thoughts and prayers and food and the loving kindness that you shared with them as Leo had surgery and recovers. I want to remind you of Bonnie Burke. She's not here with us this morning. Chris Downing is facing surgery, and I need to remind you of George Ann's mother. She's in rehab now. And Ray is with us this morning. I think he's sitting way over here on the right. We're glad that he is able to be in the service this morning. And as your associate pastor, I want to just ask each one of you to avail yourselves of the prayer time that God has given. And so as we sing this next chorus, if you'd like to pray here at the altar, we certainly invite you. If you have something you want to share with the Lord, or if you just want to praise the Lord, the altar is open, and we'll give you that opportunity, and then we'll all pray together.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way.
Card with you, and I forgot to say they're sitting back there, so we are blessed to have them in our service today as an answer to prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to come into your divine presence today. Just let our hearts be known, Lord. Every person here has need of your divine help. This pastor stands in need of your help today. And so we cry out to you. We ask for your help and your blessing. We want to praise your name for the healing touch of God. You've worked through physicians and the doctors that perform surgery to help people back to health. But Lord, you have a healing hand, and you touch many with your healing hand. And Father, we would be remiss today if we didn't pray for souls. The very purpose of sending Jesus Christ, your Son, was so that all could be reconciled to you, that would accept you and believe on you. And so, Lord, today we're privileged to say thank you for sending the Savior of the world. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for those who are looking to you today for answers to their prayers. Now come in this service, Lord, and bless it with your divine holy presence. Walk the aisles of this sanctuary in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we'll give you honor and praise and glory. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
is greater.
For that beautiful song. It was worth the wait. Technology is wonderful when it works. When it doesn't, we all get this funny look on our face. But we're glad you shared that with us. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to John, the fourth chapter. We're going to begin reading with the seventh verse. John 4, beginning with the seventh verse. At the close of the message today, we will have communion served, and everyone is welcome to partake of that who's a born-again Christian, and we encourage you to do that. Also, we will have the drawing at the close of the service today for the gift cards. By the way, for those of you who are unaware, every Sunday that you're here, your name will go back into the drawing again on the final Sunday, and we will have a $500 gift card on that Sunday. But we're glad you're here, every one of you. We're glad that everyone is here. And I can see by the smile on your faces, you're expecting God to do something special for you today. So we're trusting Him that will take place. John chapter 4, beginning with the 7th verse. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of the Holy Scriptures today in Christ's name. Amen. I have a question for you, or maybe a couple of questions, as we go into considering this scripture. How many of you have had a perfect week? Don't hold your hands up. Maybe some of you have. How many of you have lived a perfect life? How many of you expect to have a problem if you keep on living next week? Well, I saw several hands on that one. You know, none of us go through life without struggling. There's a battle. Satan wants you to feel defeated before you leave church here this morning. Did you know that? He wants you to feel like there's no hope. He wants you to feel maybe a little like this Samaritan woman who was sitting by the well side, who said, "You Jews don't have anything to do with us. What are you going to give me?" But I submit to you this morning that the well of living water sent from God Himself can help you with your struggles, your battles, and your needs. He will help you face whatever you have to face in the days that are ahead. Those battles and struggles come to every one of us. And since the fall, when the serpent tempted Eve in the garden, and Adam willingly partook of the fruit also, man has had a fallen nature. We are less than God intended for us to be. But in sending Jesus Christ, He sent the person who could change our nature and make us what we should be, and send the living water to heal our sinful lives and cause us to walk with God daily in our lives. Now, if you accept healing water from the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a carpenter, does that mean you won't hit your thumb with a hammer next week? No, it doesn't. If you accept Jesus Christ and His way of life, does that mean everything is just going to be a big bubble of joy from now on? No, the bubble's already burst. But it does mean that as you walk down the pathway of life, that Jesus will go with you every step of the way and give you the assurance that you and He can together will not face anything that cannot be handled. And so it's my privilege to share with you some thoughts about the Christ and what He wants to do in hearts and in lives. The living water, Jesus Christ, changes things. Second Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse, we come to the fact that he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." As a lad of 7 years old, I stepped out from the pew, came to an altar, and became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And every born-again Christian has become a new creation in Christ. Old things are gone. New things have come into hearts and lives. The living water changes things. He brings eternal life. He helps us face our vulnerabilities and make us children of the King. Has anyone here ever thought about what it really means to be a child of the King? You see those television things that show all these people that have everything they need. Just, you know, everything is handed to them. They're a child of the King. The King of England has a grandchild that's going to inherit the throne one of these days. But I submit to you this morning, although we probably will never inherit an earthly kingdom, that Jesus Christ has died to provide the gift of God to you and I in a heavenly kingdom that will never lose its power and glory forever. This gift of God is called the living water, given not to keep us alive, but to give us life, given to assure and make us alive in the spiritual element. The element of regeneration and the sustaining power of Jesus Christ is given when we partake of the water of life. The spring of water welling up forever into eternal life. The pure water of life flows from the throne of God. In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, in verse 1, "Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations." God's plan for His children. In that great eternal city, there by the river of life. The sources of God's grace and God's truth will sustain us throughout all eternity. In John, the 17th chapter, verses 1 and 2, "After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, 'Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him.'" Thank God for eternal life that is a promise to each one who will taste of the pure water from the fountain of living life. You ever drink muddy water? You ever drink any water that just wasn't quite up to par or maybe had a bad taste in it? It can give you problems. But I'm talking about the pure water that flows from God's throne. It has never made anyone sick. It has never hurt anyone. It flows from a heart of love to everyone who will answer his call. And it's provided freely to all believers. Several months ago, I stayed in a hotel, and they had a nice big bottle of water sitting on the vanity in that hotel room. And I looked over there, and I thought, hey, that'd be great. So I picked up the bottle of water, and I used it. And did you ever pay $4.45 for a bottle of water? I was impressed, but it wasn't impressed the right way. Because I go to the faucet and turn it on and have pure water there. But those people thought they had extra special water. But did you know that the water that flows from the fountain of life cannot be purchased, no matter how much money you have? It's freely given by Jesus Christ, the living God. Once we take the pure water, he says, I give you this clean, pure water. The desires of your heart will never be satisfied outside of Jesus Christ. You were created with a niche in your soul that only God will fit. And as you walk down the pathway of life, only God can make you what you ought to be. Only God can change your heart and cause you to walk with Him. So once we taste this water, this spring of living water, welling up to eternal life, there's an ocean of eternal life and praise before God and His Lamb, selected before the foundation of the world. The water will become in him a spring of water. He tells us that anyone who receives this water receives the grace and truth offered in Christ, becomes a channel for living water. You have any neighbors that have needs? You have any family that has needs? Jesus has given to us the special privilege of being channels for that living water to those that are around us who have needs and need Jesus living in their hearts and in their lives. A living water to all those who are around, a fountain of new life and blessedness in Jesus Christ. The soul becomes a citadel of God. And although besieged by the world of sin and sorrows, God Himself remains in the heart and life of those believers. The source is God Himself with an unfailing supply that supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Jesus asked the Samaritan lady at the well, if you knew the gift of God, you would have asked me for a drink, and I would have given you living water. The conditions of the requirement for having living water is knowing that it's available and asking Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. Receiving the truth and asking for the greatest of all gifts that could ever possibly be given. If we have received a knowledge and know what God can do, the streams of a sin-polluted world will never satisfy our inmost being. Knowing, thirst, and asking the giver of life, receiving water, living water, that leads to his eternal throne. Who's this for? Revelation's the 22nd chapter. In verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him come and take the free gift of the water of life. Jesus was speaking to this lady that had a special need in her life. She was struggling with the problems of the world. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband." You see, when God looks at us, he knows exactly what our needs are. He knows exactly what your needs are. He knows exactly what my needs are. God is never fooled. You know, we can bounce around with a big smile on our face and say everything is just great. But God knows where we live. God knows where you live. God knows your needs. If you're a Christian, God knows your needs. He's there to help you and give you direction and whatever help you may need to take on life as it's presented to you. But whosoever is thirsty may come. Jesus Christ, the fountain of living water, waits to give you that great gift. Your thirst in your soul is unquenchable apart from him. Whoever is found in the infinite grace of God, because that means every person here is part of that whoever. Your needs, my needs. Will you have needs next week? Yep, you will. Will I have needs next week? Well, I probably won't make it in the next week before I have needs. You see, God really cares about you. He cares about your hurts. He cares about your physical needs. He's the great physician. Did you know that? There were a lot of people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that had problems, that needed help. You can look at the life of David, and David was a great king, and David knocked Goliath down with one rock and a slingshot. Don't try to say that real fast because you'll get your tongue tangled. David had his problems, and God needed to intervene in his life. Peter whipped out his sword when Jesus said, "You're going to betray me tonight." He said, "Oh no, I've got the sword. I can handle anything." But before the rooster crowed the next morning, Peter had denied the Lord three times. And we come to Saul, better known as St. Paul later on. Saul put Christians in jail, did everything he could to stop Christianity. But then a great light shined in his life on the Damascus Road. And Jesus came and turned his life around. He became one of the greatest evangelists that the world has ever known. Wrote more truths to us in Scripture than probably anyone else. You see, when God comes, he makes a difference. He makes a difference in our hearts and in our lives. He has the answer for your life today, tomorrow, next year, and eternity from now. The answer is still in Jesus Christ, the living Lord. Let's stand together. heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to take some private time, yourself and God. There may be a need in your life that's outstanding this morning. It may be physical, it may be spiritual. You know, God doesn't care what your need is. He has what you need for the problem that you face. And as you stand there this morning, let's pray together. Every person speaking to God about his or her particular need. And ask God to meet your need from the well springing up into everlasting life. Heavenly Father, as we pray right now, we recognize that we have needs. We recognize that you're the great supplier, that you are the eternal Son of God, ready to meet each need. Ready to save souls, ready to heal, ready to carry out your plan in hearts and lives. And so, Lord, today for that we give you praise, and we ask that each person here, including this pastor, would cry out, "Oh God, I need you, and I need you working in my heart and in my life this day and the rest of my life. Lord, I want you to be king of everything I have. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to be what you want me to be. For I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen." As we prepare, you may be seated. As we prepare to serve communion, I've asked for the gentlemen to help us. They would come at this time. Going to ask you to remain seated, and these gentlemen will serve you the elements of communion. And if you want to come and get the coverage for that side over there, one of you take the bread and one of you take the communion cups. Again, any born-again Christian, if you want to receive communion with us this day, you're certainly welcome to. The Lord Himself ordained this holy sacrament. He commanded His disciples to partake of the bread and wine, emblems of His broken body and shed blood. This is His table. The feast is for His disciples. Let all those who have come with true repentance, forsaken their sins, and have believed in Christ unto salvation, draw near and take these emblems, and by faith partake of the life of Jesus Christ to your soul's comfort and joy. Let us remember that it is the memorial of the death and passion of our Lord, also a token of His coming again. Let us not forget that we are one at one table with the Lord. Please take the elements and hold them till everyone has been served. What a pleasure it is and a blessing for this pastor to be a part of assisting you with the elements of communion and turning your heart toward the Lord during this time that we have together. Picked up another assistant back there. He's done a good job. Make sure that anyone that desires has the elements. We have another tray of juice up here if you need that. Has everyone been served now? Everyone that... Okay. You may bring the elements back up here. Okay, let's stand together as we partake of the elements. You may take your bread, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. You may partake. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Okay, you may be seated.